Yeah.
Hey, you guys. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw, like, at the very beginning of this, but yeah. I actually, because I don't know if you guys use OBS, but I have, like, the little starting soon video, and then I have that on, and then I push start streaming, but then I push start streaming before I put that video on. So at the very beginning of this, at least till I chop it off tomorrow, there might be, like, a couple seconds of me going, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was sitting there taking a big old fucking belt out of this drink.
Well, at least you weren't doing something, like, embarrassing, like picking your nose or something like that.
I don't pick my nose. I have you pick my nose for me.
There's another shirt. We're just, yeah. I'm coming up with so many shirts.
Well, you said the crazy shit, so I'm you know.
That wasn't that crazy.
That's fucking crazy.
I mean, it's possible. I'm sure it's happened. Like, somebody turned their webcam on and they were just like... And they're picking them, they're like, uh-oh. Yeah, I don't think I was doing that. But yeah, I just mistakenly kind of, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the day before Christmas Eve Eve, if you want to be that way about it. And this is our last Christmas movie review before the big day. We're actually not going to be streaming tomorrow or Friday, which we usually don't anyway. Yeah. It's not like we're taking a holiday like normal.
I went riding today, man. I had to get the fuck out of here. I took the Buell Lightning and fucking went for a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Felt a little bit better.
It was nice out.
Yeah.
It was, nice it was cold this morning. It was 46.
It's nice for the fucking apocalypse, for the end of the world.
It'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay. I hope so.
We were saying, it's funny because we were, because remember we said we've been watching that that Leah Remini Scientology series? Yeah. And in season three, like the second to last episode, at least on Netflix, is they, it was actually really fascinating because they went into, it was like an hour and a half long, and they went into Jehovah's Witnesses, and they talked to like all these Jehovah's Witnesses, because I guess like the structure of the churches is kind of similar.
Kind of, yeah. It's ex-Scientologists talking to ex-Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, it was like, it was really, really interesting. But yeah, so that's what reminded me of it, is Jehovah's Witnesses are always talking about like the apocalypse and how they're going to be one of the 144,000 that get like swooshed up to heaven and saved and all
that. You guys know I'm all into that mythicism and fucking religions. And one of the guys I subscribe to is an ex-Jehovah's Witness, and he was just talking about that institution. It's structured kind of like Scientology, but
yeah,
it's not as money hungry. They really believe what they believe.
Which I'm not sure if that's more or less scary.
Yeah, and the Scientologists at the top just kind of pretend to believe it.
Yeah, they're just raking in the bucks.
And they're not as violent. The only thing they do, this Jehovah's Witnesses, they just kind of like banish you.
And it's disfellowship.
It's just a bunch of mind control kind of.
But see, Scientology does that too.
Yeah, but it's not. They're not putting you in the hole, or putting you in the RPF, or you know, which is
not
a private prison.
Of.
I don't think they are. No.
Although there do seem to be an inordinate amount of child molesters, at least like among the people they were talking to in the Jehovah's Witnesses, I mean.
Yeah.
And they have a weird, they have the same like victim blaming thing that Scientologists have, that if like something bad happens to you, then it's your fault.
Well, some of those people are in those cults so they can do what they do.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
That's why they're
that's
in that cult.
That's why that attracts like many of those types of people.
Because they won't rat on each other.
Yeah.
Well, they won't rat on each other to the police. So they can get away with a lot of shit.
Yeah, that's another thing that's similar. And actually, Scientology, it says it right in their little L. Ron Hubbard instruction guides there, is that is considered a suppressive act if you tell a cop or an outside authority if a Scientologist does something criminal, you're not allowed to do that, or they kick you out.
Yeah, I don't think Scientology, though, is as filled with fucking child molesters, though, as the JW or Jehovah's Witnesses, though.
Well, that might just be statistical, though, because there are more Jehovah's Witnesses than there are Scientologists.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
I wouldn't put it past any of them.
There's 8 million of them.
Yeah, well, it's a weird thing.
Well, the thing is that, you know, the priesthood in Jehovah's Witness is not as micromanaged as the priesthood in Scientology. Those guys are just never even alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they always have somebody like.
Yeah,
it's on the buddy system.
I think it's harder in Jehovah's in Scientology, and I don't think it attracts the same kind of person. I just don't.
Yeah, it doesn't have that veneer of corporatism that Scientology has.
Yeah,
Scientology is kind of like Jehovah's Witnesses mixed with Nexium. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that kind of.
Well, it's like Mick religion.
Mick religion.
Yeah.
But not as delicious as that sounds.
If you guys have ever been in a fucking military, it was based after, you know, the Navy. You know, L. Ron Hubbard was a naval officer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the military mixed with, if you guys have ever been in a fucking corporation like that was big into sales, like, you know, then you see a lot in that. It's like a corporation that sells windows or sells fucking anything, you know what I mean? Or sells fucking magazine subscriptions or vacuum cleaners. It's that kind of a fucking structure where you know, almost kind of like the pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Kind of. But everything has a corporate veneer to it, and there's books for everything, and you got to fucking follow. Why are we talking about this? We got to talk about that. You guys get me sidetracked.
Because you said something about Armageddon.
Yeah.
Tila said, my mom opened the door to Jehovah's Witness, let the woman in, and I, as a toddler, picked the scab off her leg.
Damn.
That's hilarious. Damn. That's also a strangely specific thing to remember.
Jeez.
That's really, you're like, well, I thought she needed it picked off. You know, it was
Jehovah's
right
Witness is a doomsday cult.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, they're just waiting for Armageddon. They use the fucking end of the world to scare the people into line, being ready for the apocalypse.
Yeah.
But they're not getting ready for the apocalypse the way, say, like a prepper is going to get rid of the apocalypse, where he's going to have a bunch of guns and ammo and training and equipment. No. They're just going to pray harder and hope they make it. You know, they're going to be bricklayers and shit, you know. I don't think they really have a good grasp of what an apocalypse would be like.
It's some crazy shit.
Yeah, you can pray your way out of the apocalypse to survive.
Well, they think that you can pray your way out of anything. Yeah. Well, and it's weird too because, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, but when I was in sixth grade, you know, there was a little kid in my class, his name was Richard, and he was, well, I don't want to say he was a Scientologist, his parents were not Scientologists, were Jehovah's Witnesses. And it always used to make me realize, because I didn't know what the fuck that was back then, because like I said, I wasn't raised religious. So every time that one of the parents in the class, like, brought in little cupcakes for, like, a holiday or someone's birthday or something like that, he had to go sit in the teacher's lounge, like, they had to lock him in there, because he wasn't allowed to celebrate any holidays, and I was like, what the fuck kind of bullshit religion is that? And I was, like, 11 years old.
Yeah, it's not a very old cult. I think it came around about the 40s, the 1940s, I think, when it started, and I might be wrong about that, but most of the writings, I think, come from the 40s. And they just think that fucking, like, nuclear Armageddon is going to come. And that's not the way an Armageddon would look like, or the end of days, or the end of the United States. It wouldn't look like that. It would look just like the collapse of the Soviet Union. It would look just like that. Just a wave of unemployment, breakaway republics, poverty. Fucking a lot of them died. It took a decade for it to stabilize. And fucking organized crime took over. And all the organized crime were all the ex-military guys and guys, ex-CIA, or ex-KGB dudes ran it. That's what it would look like. Yeah. Worse, probably here. Worse, but because Soviets were used to going without electricity. If you cut the power here, people fucking lose it. Can't use any of your devices. Technology's bad. No food delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah. You better learn how to plant quick. Better learn how to eat some of that long pig.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, you'd be eating long pig.
You cook it right, I'm sure it's delicious.
there's less than a day of fucking supplies in your local grocery store. When there's no power, the computers don't work, so nothing gets delivered. And then it spirals out of control. There's a real good documentary on it called Surviving Armageddon, I think is the name of it. It's about bio-warfare. That talks about it.
Yeah, I remember you talking about
that. Yeah, it's a good one. And it's from like 20 years ago, and what it's talking about is what you see now. It's just that what you see, it's just happening in slow motion here, right now, you know? And I don't know how real it was, because in that one, it was a pandemic where the mortality rate was like 15-20%. So it killed lots of people. They were stacked up at the end of the damn roads dying. You know what I mean? It'd be like one quarter of your block would die, you know, within a short period of time. So
yeah.
It's not the same as what you have now. I don't know how much I buy in this shit. It's just old people dying. I'm looking at the numbers and I'm just like, I'm not impressed.
Tila said Prince was a Jehovah's Witness.
He was? That's weird.
I didn't know that, actually.
He wasn't practicing. You're not even supposed to smoke.
Yeah, you can't do anything. That's what I mean. You can't even eat a fucking birthday cupcake.
He must have left
that. What the fuck kind of religion is that? Who would want to be in that?
He's probably born in it.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's why I feel bad for people that get born in it, that are Scientology or anything like that. All right, so let's talk about a goddamn Christmas movie. How about that?
Yeah. I didn't see it.
You might have seen it before because I think that this is the third year that I have watched this movie because I really, really like this movie a lot. It's one of my favorite Christmas horror movies. This is called A Christmas Horror Story. It's from 2015. I think I first watched it Christmas of 2017, and it was on Netflix back then. It is no longer on Netflix, at least in the U.S., because I just checked this morning. It is, however, on Shudder, and I think it might also be on Amazon Prime. I didn't see it on Tubi, so like check and let me know. Now, this is a Canadian horror anthology set around Christmas. Interestingly, and I've seen this fucking thing three times and I didn't even realize this. The three dudes that directed it, because like I said, it's an anthology, Grant Harvey, Steve Hoban, and Brett Sullivan, also all worked on Ginger Snaps, which we reviewed just the other day, and the fictional town that this anthology movie is set in is Bailey Downs, which is the same fictional town that Ginger Snaps was set in. And I didn't even fucking realize that until I was watching this movie again this morning. Hmm. So I was like, well, there you go. And then when I looked it up, they were like, oh, it's the guys that did Ginger Snaps. And I was like, oh, well, that explains it. They're setting it in the same fictional universe. So basically, all I'm going to say, okay, so I'll give you the pitch of this movie, and then I have to spoil it a little bit because it's like just, it's so great. The Shat is in this, William Shatner. He is in he's kind of like the wraparound and almost kind of like the narrator. He plays a radio DJ called Dangerous Dan. And it's funny because he kind of pops in, you know, periodically, like giving you updates on some of the shit. And he's drinking like eggnog with rum or whiskey or something like that. So as the movie goes on, he's getting progressively drunker and like more and more depressed. And it's like really, really funny. It's like he really, really fucking sells it. I mean, it's perfect. So he's kind of like the wraparound. And then also I want to say, too, that if you're a fan of, I mean, Krampus is in this. And I'm pretty sure that this was kind of the first big, like, major. It wasn't super major because I don't even think it had a theatrical release in the U.S. Maybe it was very, very limited. I think it went straight to VOD, which is a shame. So I feel like a lot of people maybe just thought, oh, it's another stupid, you know, Christmas horror movie. But this one is actually really, really good. And I was surprised, like, the first time I saw it. So it has Krampus in it. It also has Krampus fighting Santa Claus. And it also has Santa killing zombie elves. So if that doesn't sound badass enough. But there's lots of other really cool shit in this as well. So like I said, you have Dangerous Dan, played by the Shat, and he's talking about this town, Bailey Downs. It kind of, the thing about this town, it's almost, they don't really say this explicitly, but it's almost kind of like every Christmas, like some bad shit happens, almost like this place is like cursed or something. So they do kind of go into the year prior at the school, two students were murdered. And they still haven't caught the person who did it. And it was, like, really creepy. Like, all this weird shit was written in blood on the walls and shit like that. So, the first story, and it's hard to say, like, first, second, third, fourth, because what this does, you know how most anthologies, they have, like, the wraparound, and they're like, here's the first story, and then here's the wraparound bit again, and here's the second story. This one doesn't do that. This one basically has the four stories running concurrently, so it kind of flips back and forth between all four of them. Like it's not confusing. Like I think some people like thought it was like a little confusing at first, but I didn't find it confusing because it's not, the stories aren't necessarily intertwined, but some of the characters are intertwined. Like, you know what I mean? So like some of the characters like turn up in some of the other ones and it's like, you know what I mean? So the first one, there's these high school students and they're making like a documentary for a school class. And so they want to break into the school, which is closed for the Christmas holiday, obviously. And they want to film where the students from last year were murdered. Like they want to go down in the basement and everything. Now, interestingly, the girl who got them the keys to the school, she is featured in the second story or the third story, where she's going with her family to visit their rich relative. I don't remember if it's like their aunt. I think it's their aunt or it's like their grandparents or something like that. And the dad, I guess his business has been failing and he doesn't have any money. He don't want to tell his wife or kids about it. So he's going to Aunt Etta, who has like all the money and is going to ask her for it, but it doesn't go too well. And that's where the whole Krampus thing starts. And then there's another story, like about the cop who investigated the murders from the prior year, and him and his wife and his little boy are going out to this, going out in the woods. They want to find the perfect Christmas tree, right? So he kind of goes onto this land that he's maybe not supposed to go onto, and they find the perfect Christmas tree. But then for a little while, like, they lose their little boy and they can't find him. Like, he wandered off somewhere. And then they find him and everything's okay. But then they take him home and that kid is acting really weird all of a sudden. And so there's that one. And then there's also a one where it's set in the North Pole with Santa Claus, and his elves start acting. I think the first one that starts acting up is named, what the fuck is it? They all have names like Jingles and Shiny and stuff like that, Sparkles and stuff. And I guess all they eat is cookies. So like one of them is basically like, he didn't want to eat cookies, he is not hungry or whatever, and then he dies, and then he comes back as a zombie. And they're not only zombies, but they turn into these like real foul-mouthed, I mean, you know, saying stuff to Mrs. Claus like, you reindeer fucking snow whores, some shit like that. And that's, that segment, like with Santa killing all the zombie elves, is probably the most fun and easily the goriest. I mean, Santa, who kind of looks like a big like badass, you know, and he has like cool hair. He looks more like a, you know, more like a traditional, like more pagan-y looking Santa Claus. And he's just in there like knocking off elves' heads and cutting their arms off and shit like that. So that one's super fun. And I think my favorite one, though, well, the creepiest one, is the one with the cop and his wife and the kid in the woods, you know, getting the tree. Because when they bring that kid back home, it turns out that that kid is a changeling. And the way that they shot it, like the way it was all set, it was like super, super creepy. So I think that was like kind of the best one creepy wise. And the zombie elves and Santa one is the best one, like entertainment wise. All of the stories are good. I think the one with the kids in the basement, like making the documentary, is the weakest one. And it's the least to do with Christmas, but it's still like, it's still pretty good. Like, it's still a decent segment. I just think it's the least successful one out of all of them. And there's also, I won't spoil it, but there's a twist that has to do with the Santa and the elves, and also has to do with William Shatner's character and the shit that he's talking about on the radio. Because like I said, he's doing, it's almost kind of like In the Fog, you know, where like Adrienne Barbeau is kind of like almost like narrating it because she's like, you know, on the radio the whole time. It's kind of like that, but that ends up tying in with like the Santa Claus shit too, and like a really interesting. What are you doing?
I lost power.
Oh.
I thought maybe this thing must be on a switch. Ain't that something?
I don't know what you're doing. He's like, I don't know. He just gets up and like starts wandering around. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Huh.
I don't know. I think, you know what? I think I've had trouble with that plug in the past.
It's gotta be, because look, that's running.
Yeah.
But for
it's
some reason,
that one plug, I think, is kind of squirrely.
Yeah. That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so like I said, I don't really want to spoil the twist, because I really, really liked the twist at the end of this one, because I like how it tied in, you know, this, the one story of, like, about Santa and the elves, and then it also ties in with the William Shatner wraparound. So I thought that was kind of cool the way that was done. So, I mean, seriously, if you really, really like Christmas horror and you like horror anthologies, and I like both of those things, then this is a really good one. And I feel like, I don't know, I guess it's like kind of underrated, because like I said, if you just see it, there's so many Christmas horror movies, and especially after this came out and after the movie that was just called Krampus, or Krampus if you want to be that way about it, after those came out, I feel like there were like a shit ton of cheap jack straight to VOD Krampus movies. So maybe this one gets lost in the shuffle, because I think a lot of the covers have like Santa fighting Krampus on it, So people are like, oh, that's going to be dumb or whatever. But it's really, it's nothing like that. It's actually really good. It's really fun. You know, all the segments are good. Like, obviously, a couple of them are better than the other ones, but that usually happens with any anthology. It's all of it's totally worth watching. And like I said, I think that the main criticism I saw, like, not a lot of too many people criticizing it, but the main criticism I saw is like, oh, they didn't like the stories running concurrently and switching back and forth between them instead of just letting one play out all the way. But I actually liked that better because then, you know, each story, it didn't get stale, you know what I mean? Because it was only on screen for like a few minutes, like you saw what happened in there, and then they went back, like, let's see what these other people are doing. So I thought that was kind of better. Like, it kept it from getting slow or kept it from getting bogged down because you were just kind of hitting the highlights and going back and forth. And if you got bored, you know, it was going to the other story. And they do kind of, they're not super linked together, but like I said, there is a little bit of overlap with the characters. It's all happening in the same town, like right around the same time. So, you know, but I think that's pretty much all I got to say about it. Like I said, it's on Shudder and I think it's on Amazon Prime. So basically go check it out because it's a really good flick. And like I said, if you're going to watch some Christmas horror movies, because I do it every year. And I think this is the third year that I've watched it. I watched it in 2017, and then I watched it maybe last year or the following year, and then I watched it again this year. So yeah, I think it's going to become one that's going to go into the rotation along with my Christmas MST episodes, yeah, which I watch every year. And, you know, some various other ones too. What else you want to talk about?
I still can't get power. I don't know why. I switched them around. It's fine.
See? Maybe your
it's gotta be this
charging cable is fucked up.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's this extension cord.
Yeah, I don't know how old that extension cord is. So
all right. That's all I gotta say about it.
All right. Well, like I said, we won't be back again live until Saturday, which will be the day after Christmas. So I hope you guys have enjoyed these Christmas movie reviews we've been doing. And I hope you guys all have a really good holiday. Everybody have a good time. Be safe. Try to, like, you know, try to make the best of it. Try to have a good time. I'm going to try to, that's for sure. But yeah, we'll see you guys again on Saturday. And thanks for stopping by. Merry Christmas, y'all. Bye.